This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Will there be immigration policy reform in 2014? Well, one thing is for sure, that advocates remain determined and are going beyond all the current proposals in Washington and digging even deeper into the structural problems with our outdated, isolationist, and fundamentally inhumane policy regime around immigrants and immigration.
Along with this process, in the short term, activists are also ramping up their efforts to put a stop to the rampant detentions and deportations that are causing so much pain in immigrant communities. Oscar Chacon, Executive Director of the National Alliance of Latin American and Caribbean Communities Coalition, joins us to discuss efforts on both of these fronts.
Oscar,
it's a pleasure to be with you.
The question really is, will there be, can we look to some renewal, some spring, some hope within the question of immigration policy reform in 2014?
Well, I mean, the answer is not as simple as I wish it were. I think that, you know, if you look at the issue from the perspective of how broken our immigration policy has been for nearly 3.5 decades, and the fact that this, over time, means that an accumulated set of problems, you know, continue to harm us as a country, and surely it harms very seriously millions of immigrant families over the past years, and if we don't do anything about it, it will continue to harm, you know, immigrant families for years to come. So I think that from the merits point of view, we must keep, indeed, our pressure very focused on ensuring that we bring changes to this very needy area of public policy reform sooner rather than later. Now, with that said, I mean, I think it is also important to acknowledge that immigration and immigrants, two things that are very closely interconnected, but they're not exactly the same, have actually become a very complex, you know, subject matter in our society that intersects with many, many other areas of public policy. And as a result, grasping this particular issue in a way in which we can bring it to solutions has also become extremely difficult. And I think that in the very short term, it's very, very hard to imagine that we will be able to produce the kind of changes that the country needs, you know, that immigrant families deserve in the country. And that is simply because, you know, in a year like this, you know, when elections are scheduled to happen in November, clearly the situation becomes much more polluted, you know, much more distracted by many other political goals. And as I said, I mean, those of us who have been at this struggle for decades continue to remain committed. You know, we know that this is something we cannot let go, but we also need to acknowledge how difficult it is, which is why we need to also focus on issues on this particular complex subject matter that can possibly be indeed brought to some sort of remedial situation at the very least, and I'm referring to the question of deportations in particular.
Before we go to the questions of deportations and also of detentions, do you see any scenario in which anything positive is going to come out of Congress in the near term?
I'm very skeptical, to be very honest with you. I mean, I think that, the bottom line is Republicans in Congress do not really fear that their inaction on immigration reform is going to mean punishment in any way or form electorally. And that is because, you know, while there is absolutely no question about the fact that the minority voters have been growing very rapidly, in particular, people of Latin American origin in the country continues to grow, and it will be indeed a segment of the voting population that everybody will have to basically come to terms with. That is not necessarily true across the nation, and it is not necessarily true in terms of November of 2014. And so the bottom line is, you know, we've been making every effort possible, and I think that many of the policymakers in Washington, including the president, have been trying to basically come closer to the positions of Republicans by becoming, among other things, very tough, you know, on immigrants, in the hope that by doing so, they can bring Republicans to basically play ball. But that hasn't yet happened. And in a year like this, I happen to believe that it's very unlikely that that will be the case. And so I believe that what we need to do at this point is really get ourselves ready for legislative changes that are, frankly, more likely to begin to come to fruition probably within the next 2 years and clearly within the next 4 or 5 years, probably more so than not, simply because larger electoral realities, demographic realities, are going to begin to catch up with us. And that combined with, you know, better organized strategies, I think that we will be able to bring this difficult issue to a, you know, resolution of sorts that is smart, I mean, that is humane, and that is truly looking forward to the 21st century as opposed to just keeping repeating the same old policies from before.
Oscar, one of the things, I guess, politically, there were so many people that were looking at the growing Latino voting power and thinking that that was really the ace in the hole. That was the Trump card that would really force meaningful immigration reform. And yet the Republicans and the Democrats, for that matter, certainly one can say that about the Obama administration in terms of the deportations, but there seems to be an ignorance of that political strength, which so many of us thought would be that which would really push ultimately a meaningful, comprehensive immigration reform.
You are correct. I mean, and I think that that is one of the many issues that we need to be just much more thorough in the way we understand them, in the way we make something of them. The reality is that, you know, numbers alone do not carry the day. I mean, and I think that that's one important lesson that many of us have learned about the so-called growing Latino voting power. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, Latino voters are indeed already very important in places in the country, you know, like California, like New York, you know, like Illinois, like Texas included. But the reality is where the Latino voting power is already significant is not enough to really bring about the kind of changes that we need at the national, at the federal level, because, again, we have a political system in our country that works pretty much against, you know, this reality of minority voters growing in very significant numbers, but only in certain parts of the country. And let's not forget that the country has been moving in a rather polarizing and ever more divisive reality. And in that reality, in that context, again, the growing Latino power is yet to be felt. And I also believe that it is fair to say that organizing in a way in which democratic participation, civic participation, becomes much more robust, you know, and much more active than the case is now, is something that we are not yet where we need to be. And I think that that's part of why we are seeing not only Republicans but also Democrats essentially lagging behind in terms of where things need to be.
Given those political realities, there's been more and more conversations, I think, and there was a meeting indeed with Latino leadership and Obama recently on the questions of deportations, and indeed this administration has deported 2 million people over the last 5 years, which is much more than the previous one in 8 years. Where is that going?
Well, the essence of it is deportations is in many ways where finally we are coming to see more clearly what kind of mistakes, you know, have we made over the last, I would say, 10, 12 years in terms of how our policymakers, and I mean mostly Democrats, have understood, you know, the question of immigration policy reform. Going back about 12 years ago or so, the idea came up that if Democrats could show the country, and more than anybody else, show Republicans that they could be tough when it comes to enforcing forcefully immigration policy already in place as of 12 years ago, that that was somehow going to lead to Republicans coming enthusiastically wanting to actually cut deals, you know, with Democrats on immigration policy reform. Sadly, that way of looking at the potential change by virtue of crafting essentially so-called bipartisan solutions has not produced results. And the one piece of evidence where that is clearer than anywhere else is on the question of deportations. Nearly 1,400 people a day are actually sent back, you know, to countries of origin. 95% or so people of Latin American origin, and within that, almost all of them Mexicans. And so what this is causing is a very serious level of discomfort by people who have been generally supportive of the Democratic Party approach on immigration reform, but that finally are coming to see that this idea that by being tough on immigrants and deporting as many people as I just mentioned is going to somehow make Republicans want to come and be, you know, collaborative and be basically partners simply is not working. And so it has to change. But I think at this point, and you made reference of the meeting, you know, at the White House about 2 weeks ago, I think that there is a little bit of uneasiness on the part of the president, on the part of key Democrats, that they feel that by asking the president to be more creative in how to use administrative power, that somehow we are diverting from actually pressuring, you know, the Republican leadership in the House. I don't believe that this is a question of either or. I mean, this is a question of both of things being equally important and both issues needing very badly of immediate attention. And I think that Latinos in particular are going to keep definitely pressuring the Obama administration without for a second thinking that we must let go pressure on the other side. I mean, I think it's a matter of really putting pressure on both at the same time, and in doing so, trying to change the very landscape and the very premises of how we understand immigration policy reform going forward.
Oscar Chacon, it would seem certainly, and there's a defensiveness on the part of the Obama administration, but there doesn't appear to be much cooperation. Indeed, he would seem to punt and say, "There, what is a poor president to do? I'm not really in control of the various policies and practices that have been put in place by the immigration services, by the border organizations, and so there's a continuing criminalization, if you will, of migration." So what is it that you think that this administration can or should do to begin to alter the practice that has been so prevalent and is exponentially increasing relevant to the what are mass deportations?
Well, you know, we happen to believe that there is indeed a lot more that can be done. And let me give you two examples of the things that can be done. First of all, the Obama administration put into effect administrative changes going back 3 years ago that were supposed to make less harmful the entire practice of deportation by essentially having the governmental officials use much greater discretion in order to decide who should and shouldn't be deported. Now, those changes, when they were first announced, they were supposed to have been changes that were going to benefit over 300,000 people in the country. Now, the last time these numbers were actually reviewed, that number doesn't even reach 10,000. So clearly, there is a lot more that can be done just by enforcing the very things that they announced they were going to do by way of a prosecutorial discretion. There is, again, much more that could be done. But even more important than that, the president could, if he wanted to, he could definitely extend the kind of benefit that they granted, you know, about a year and a half ago to young undocumented immigrants, often referred to as dreamers, and they could extend those benefits, which essentially means putting deportation proceedings on hold, not, you know, getting anybody handed to immigration because they are here without authorization, granting them a work permit so that they can earn a living while they are here and provide for themselves and their families. That is something the administration could do if they wanted to. The impediment is not necessarily a legal one. The impediment is political, because it would mean, indeed, bringing the confrontation with those who would love to see every single person in this country without a visa deported in a very open confrontation on this very subject matter. And that's why we believe that this needs to be done, because if it is done, I think that it will be much harder to then go back and say, well, we want to continue playing under the same terms as before. We will have a new reality from where to configure the very notion of how should immigration policy reform look like going forward.
A related issue is the tens of thousands of immigrants who are in detention in jails throughout the country. Who is in jail and why are they there? What are the reasons that the administration says they've been locked up?
Well, first of all, just in terms of root causes of this pattern, and by the way, you know, the actual number is about 34,000 people per night. That's how many beds need to be filled in based on the mandate that they've been pretty much implementing for the past several years. Now, the legal basis for this detention regime that is now in place comes from a very important change in immigration policy that actually took place in 1996. That law made tens of thousands, if not millions of people, subject to deportation. And I'm not talking about people without a visa in the U.S. I'm talking in many instances about people who are so-called legal permanent residents, but who committed some sort of violation to the law that in 1996 got to be retroactively recategorized as deportable offenses. That's why there are so many people in the country, above and beyond people without a visa, who, if caught, you know, by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, are actually placed in detention and sometimes held in detention for extended periods of time. So the other compounding problem that goes with this is the fact that a lot of the detention facilities for foreign nationals are now run by private companies. And so private companies are making a ton of money by holding people in detention facilities because, again, there are plenty of beds that the government is paying for to keep people in detention. And as you can see, I mean, this is a very incredibly harmful paradigm, the one that we have in place, and it has to be also broken because, frankly, instead of putting so many people in detention every night and paying private jail companies to hold them, we should be really doing something more creative that is more beneficial for families and that is ultimately more beneficial for the country.
And in the time that we have left, there are certain positions like that we see in New York that are expressed by Charles Schumer that would go in the direction of a kind of bracero program, but a bracero program, if you will, even for people who are considered to be highly educated and skilled in the immigration community. But it's a narrow and it's an elitist policy. So what actually is on the horizon in terms of the Latino communities taking the reins and doing the kind of organizing? And I guess some of that's going to be demonstrated on May 1st, where I know there are going to be immigrant groups organizing all over the country. But what is next on the agenda as an organizing strategy to push on these various issues that we have been discussing?
Well, I think that it's about time for those of us in the Latino community, and I would say the immigrant, you know, community and the immigrant support community in the country, to really take a little bit of a deep, you know, breath and actually rethink, you know, the strategy that has been in place since essentially the spring of 2002 all the way until the present has by and large proven to be ineffective as a strategy to bring about change in the area of immigration policy. So I think the first thing that we need to really do as part of, you know, how do we refocus organizing is coming to grips with the fact that what we've been doing hasn't worked and that if we pretend that we just keep doing the same, somehow it's going to produce a different result, as you probably know, that's a sign of insanity. And we need to break away from that cycle. Second of all, I mean, I think we need to absolutely be clear that immigration reform is not going to be something that we are going to be able to achieve all at once. I think that one of the biggest lessons of the past several years is that it's going to be much more realistic that we can bring about changes little by little and be very open-minded about how those changes are going to look. I think it's important to, in the end, put the very people that we pretend to speak for, the people that we pretend to care about, in the center of the conversation. Unfortunately, sometimes these debates about strategy are all taking place in the confounds of Washington, D.C. We don't necessarily extend an invitation, a realistic invitation, to immigrant communities around the country to be participants in this conversation, and there is a lot of wisdom that we are tapping by doing so. So I really believe that how does the future look in terms of immigration policy reform? We need to acknowledge all of it is broken, all of it needs to be replaced, but we may not be able to replace it all at once. It's going to have to be, whether we like it or not, more of an incremental approach, learning from other struggles, including the struggle, by the lesbian gay rights community, who has been very steadily over the past 20 years achieving victories, not necessarily all at once, but gradually bringing them about. And I think that that's the way that we will need to go.
Well, certainly the answer to the question of how soon U.S. immigration policy can truly be fixed will depend on how quickly and effectively organized immigrant communities and those who wish to have common cause with them can build the political muscle necessary to ensure that the demands can not be co-opted and indeed be realized. And really, I'm saying that from your own words and your own papers. And we'd like to thank you so much for being with us. We have been speaking with Oscar Chacon, Executive Director of the National Alliance of Latin American and Caribbean Communities Coalition, and we'll continue this dialogue for months to come until there really is a realization of meaningful, comprehensive immigration reform. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So what's up with all this talk about President Obama stopping deportations? Isn't it Congress that needs to pass comprehensive immigration reform? Congress should pass laws to reform our immigration system, but will they? And given many politicians' views on our community, how much worse will things become as a result of the compromise? How many more people will be deported till this comes? Already there have been too many. So why the president? What can he do? The answer lies in the three branches of the U.S. government. First, there's the judicial branch. That's the courts. The judicial branch's job is to interpret the laws. Next, the legislative branch, Congress. This branch creates laws. Well, in the current Congress, there's not much lawmaking or problem-solving happening, but moving on. Finally, the executive branch. The executive branch includes the president, his cabinet, and various governmental agencies. The executive branch implements existing laws. There's lots of work that goes into implementing laws. The executive branch holds lots of authority in how policies are implemented. These policies and decisions are administrative and can include deciding not to enforce certain laws in certain circumstances. When has this happened before? There are many examples. In 2012, President Obama enacted the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which gave most DREAM Act eligible young people relief from deportation. In his State of the Union speech in 2014, the president himself signaled a willingness to take more action from within his authority.
And I intend to keep trying, with or without Congress, so wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation to expand opportunity for more American families, that's what I'm going to do.
So if he can do it, why hasn't he? Well, some people say that deporting people is the way to get immigration reform.
Huh?
We are nearing 2 million deportations. Anti-immigrants still come to the table with enforcement-heavy proposals and still no solutions from Congress. Demonstrating enforcement credentials has not worked. For our community, this strategy has been cruel and it's been a failure. President Obama, yes, you can. here are some things he can do today. Expand deferred action to the fullest extent possible. Stop the deportation dragnet. These programs are incarcerating and deporting our loved ones and undermine public safety. Stop classifying people as high priority or criminal aliens based on immigration violations and minor criminal offenses. So wait. The president can do all that? Yep. We don't have to simply wait for nothing or another bill for more militarization of our border? More of our community being criminalized? Yep. Think about how different the debate in our lives would be if this was the starting point.
Lo más importante en mi comunidad es parar las deportaciones, no más separación de familias.
I'm a DACA recipient, and I would like to see that relief extended to my parents. Obama, we know you can do this.
Señor Presidente Obama, usted tiene la oportunidad de parar las deportaciones y el sufrimiento de nuestras familias.
Obama, yes, you can. Yes, we can. Stop deportations.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.